Welcome to Your Ultimate Life Podcast, where we help you break free from mediocrity and create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Get your free video series at yourultimatelife.ca.
Hi there, and welcome to this episode of Your Ultimate Life, episode 861 on the podcast dedicated to helping you create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy by using your gifts, talents, and your life experience. I'm excited today to have Fran Bailey as a guest. Welcome to the show, Fran.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
You are absolutely welcome. We had a little mishap. We got all ready to record and I hit disconnect. So, hey, here we are, a little comic happened. Relief. Right. You know, one of the first questions I love to ask people, and because it's a little bit unexpected, and I want you to just wax poetic, and that is, can you tell us how Fran is adding good to the world?
I think by creating a very simple program method for people to follow very easily, to find themselves and find ways to heal themselves. So, because I think we know ourselves best. Mm-hmm. And just finding the program that I've created is very simple and it's palpable. Mm-hmm. So it's actually something you can really use. And, you know, you are responsible, of course, and accountable for yourself, but it's these tools are really simple.
Tell us about it. Tell me about the program. What I'm hearing you say is there's a need, and the need is I need to find myself. And that all sounds like woo-woo speak, which is fine. So tell me what that means so that people can hear and say, ooh, I want that. I want to learn that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's based on observing humanity and observing people in fear. I think that if you approach someone gently and say, okay, look, what is it that you really want? What really matters to you? How do you go about doing that? What are you feeling, thinking, knowing, hearing? How do you connect to your soul? Your soul purpose is part of your authentic self. So it's that kind of system where we actually attach, we combine the body, mind, heart, soul, and live in an everyday life with that connection and that, you know, evaluation all the time with those parts of ourselves. So, you know, we're very complex, but very simple. And I think that, you know, if you're aligned, it's all about alignment, knowing what your energy is, knowing where you are you present, are you, you know, you're in your head, are you too emotional? Are you, you know, those are the questions that I would ask you. So that basically what happens is that it's a study of learning about your own energy and saying hello to the good, the bad, and the ugly, and loving all of it.
I was going to say, there's could be a loaded thing. People say the good, bad, ugly. Why do I want to love it? I want to get rid of this piece. I want to smash it and erase it or paint, you know, white out on it or something like that. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit more about this learning to love the different parts of me.
Well, I mean, you know, we experience life, things come up, we're human, we make mistakes, we do things that we maybe shouldn't, but we learn through those mistakes or those events, those experiences. Every experience is sacred. And so you put that in a pile and you say, okay, I'm observing myself doing this, I'm observing myself doing that, that doesn't fit, this doesn't fit. So which direction am I going to go? I'm not going to blame, shame myself or someone else. I'm going to learn from the experience so that that becomes, I learn how to navigate through those other experiences, you know? So I think it's, we shame ourselves so much of the time. And, you know, from my own experience, having not much confidence, then suddenly said, well, wait a minute. What if I turn that around and use that energy positively and say, okay, let's just open the door and jump, you know? Taking a chance, but at the same time, understanding my human dysfunction or whatever you want to call it, cords to certain personality types or whatever, where I'm kind of locked into some kind of thing that I need, should do, have to do, and ought to do, when really I just need to let go.
You know, we live in a society that seems to, you know, push people in boxes and lay labels and, you know, sort of do all that and favor that sort of thing. And that is, I think, contributes to a lot of that, you know, should and shame and things like that. So if that's how we're socialized and that's how we're measured and praised, yeah, or smashed or whatever happens to us in the journey, when someone comes to you and it's clear that, yeah, they are, you know, sort of contaminated with all this muck that has happened to them, and they haven't understood the things that you teach. If I come to you and it's clear from my language with you, or from what I'm talking about or complaining about or sad about or whatever, that there's a whole lot of that going on, how do you start with me to help me begin to see that something else is even possible?
So let's say, for instance, I may ask a question of a pattern thought that sort of streams into one thing next to the one thing. And that thought has an underlying negative energy around it, meaning that there is this self-judgment all the time. So if I say to you, let's just put that thought outside of your body. I don't want you to hang on to that thought, because that's making you go a certain direction. Mm-hmm. So let's put that thought out there and let's view it in another way. I'll do a meditation, or I'll do a clearing. I'll read your energy first before we do meditation. I might see a pattern. I might see a hook onto that thought, and that hook comes from the past and, mm-hmm, your evaluation of yourself. So I'll go back and find the source, and then let's pull it out so that we can see what traps you.
Like, is a negative energy thought something like an underlying belief that somehow I don't measure up or I'm not good enough?
Yeah.
And that can be one that sort of contaminates everything else in this underlying framework. And something like that?
Something like that, or, you know, even deeper. You know, sometimes, whether it comes from parents or our school or, you know, some evaluation that someone had of you, mm-hmm, and you hold that picture of what they think you are, and you hold that in front of your third chakra, that's the ego. Mm-hmm. And that picture is there, and you keep bumping up against that picture. That's really not you. That's your vision of someone thinking of how you are. So you hold on to that vision, and then you can't get out of it, because you're locked into that image. So if I say, let go of the image, then there's more space, number one. Number two, the question is, do you really think you're like that?
Yeah, it's funny, because what you said to start with was, it's what I think they think. So we're already two steps removed. I have an imagination or an idea or a story about what someone else thinks, and maybe it's my interpretation. Maybe they said that. Maybe they said those very words. But still, from that event or those words, I've created this picture, and I'm holding it there. And then what you're talking about is giving me both permission and instruction to, one, release it, and two, to examine it. Do I actually think such a thing, or am I just clutching to this idea?
Correct. So it's fascinating, because if I take you through a meditation, and I will say, well, let's go back to that time period, and let's throw that image out in front of you. What percentage of that image do you believe in? 0 to 100. So you're actually, you know, looking at that, you think, oh my God, that's really not what I'm really thinking of myself. It's what I'm seeing others, and I'm holding on to it. So then you drop that scale, mm-hmm, and you drop the image. And then again, there's more space. So it's just a physical kind of release.
I love the way you describe that, because I can experience, as you described it, know, the picture here and bumping up into it and then removing it, creating some space. You mentioned a couple of things in setup for that that I want you to elaborate on a little bit. You said, well, I might read your energy or I might take you through a meditation. And I know those are all part of a larger process, but just talk to me a little bit about what it means to read my energy. What is that?
Well, if you were in my room, or I could maybe read your energy right now, you know, what I do is I give someone the space not to judge them, but to observe them as they are in the moment. I may pick up some sort of something, I don't know. And then I want them to observe how they are coming in, and then after meditation, how they are after. So this is really a test or a study in your own observation.
So you reflecting, you see how I'm presenting, how I'm being, the energetic vibration or whatever that I'm giving off, and you see that and you reflect that to me and say, this is the energy that I'm seeing in your stance, breath, beingness, then you lead me through a meditation that addresses that or helps to adjust it or release it so that I can have a different, instead of being, you know, green, I can be blue. I'm being silly, but, you know, I can change from something to something else. That's really important, because most of us, it seems like, don't even pay very much attention to how we're being, how we show up. Right. You know, our energetic stance.
Right.
Do you find that? Like, nearly everyone just isn't...
Oh, especially now. People are whacked out.
Talk more about that. Tell me what's going on.
Okay. I was telling this to Kathy the other day. I said, I want you to observe, when I walk into Whole Foods, I observe people driving, I observe people in... You know, what is happening to the world? What is happening to people? People are so focused down. They're not aware. They're just so intense and dense. Their energy is very dense, and they're holding on to a lot of heavy stuff. There isn't the as I would say, there isn't this freedom of love, so to speak. There's this trap of this constant chaos that we're in. It's there, definitely. We all have to go through it. We're all part of this process for sure. But those can go down in a tunnel and really hard to get back up, or those are starting to go and starting to get conscious. Then there are those that are already there, you know, that are trying to get other people to come with them. So, I'll give you an example.
Great.
So there was somebody in my house that was coming, and he's this artist. He's really great and wonderful, very creative. He's doing a documentary on a person that started King Records. Anyway, it's fabulous, fabulous. And, he's extremely ADD, but at the same time, this runs this really creative energy all over the place. So he came into the kitchen. I was doing an interview in about 20 minutes. So, you know, his energy came in and went, oh my God, I got to stay grounded. Right. So that's what you're responding to someone in your space. And he was in that creative process. And he was talking about a next project and this and that. I stood in the kitchen and I said, I was looking at the window. I said, stop. What do you want? You have so many things going on that I'm spinning. You're spinning and it's affecting me. You got to figure out what you want and what you're doing and stay grounded and stay with it. He took a breath. He said, thank you. I needed that.
Yeah.
So it's not as much as what they're saying. It's the energy, how it is, how our body responds.
What do you think? What do you think? It makes complete sense. Absolutely. Absolutely love it. We know. People walk into the room and it changes the atmosphere. You don't even see them and you know they're upset or, you know, all that sort of communication through energy. You used a couple of words that I thought were really interesting and are very indicative of our times. You said energy is dense.
Yeah.
You know, sort of this dense energy and downward. And then you said, just sort of in passing, it's not, there's not room for love. And love is like everything in the universe, and you know that. And so talk to me, what's creating this density and so that love sort of bounces off? Like, what's going on, do you think?
I think they attach to the chaos and they cord to it. They don't know how to get away from it. I think that fear holds them in a certain place, and fear just sort of crumbles them. And there's this, you know, I just want to just take the scab off, you know, just take it off. And say, hey, hello, hello. Hey, we're right here. Here we are. You and me. I'm reflecting you. You're reflecting me. Stop, you know, take a breath.
Take a breath. I love that. I agree. There is fear. I love you. You know, you've described it as fear and chaos, and there's an abundance of all those things. I mean, we've got uncertainty and wars everywhere and inflation and externalities and everything, and people are not owning their opportunity and ability to live their own life in spite of these externalities. And so I just wanted you to talk about that for a second. Thank you.
You have
clearly become an expert at it, reading energy, at helping people understand that, at making these kind of connections. And people don't fall up mountains. So you didn't fall up that mountain. Getting to where you are has been a journey and a process. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about that, because sometimes people hear, you know, the idea that you can be centered or grounded or any of the related thing. Yeah, that's nice for you, but I can't because. So you didn't, you know, get where you are accidentally, or you didn't, you know, helicopter up there. So tell us a little bit about your journey. How did you get here where you are now with what you have to offer?
Well, I think I was lucky enough to grow up in a very pretty happy home with lots of music and dance. My father sang, my mom danced. We were always doing musicals. And, you know, also at the same time, I grew up in a metaphysical home. So my mother was a Christian Scientist. Mm-hmm. So that is basically was written by a woman in the late 1800s who believed in positive thinking and mind over matter. So that has been ingrained in me for since a very young child, and believe that, oh, I can heal myself. Or if I have that thought, that positive belief, then there's, I'm going to run that through my body. I mean, I just grew up that way. So I was very lucky. So went into dance, loved to dance because didn't want to talk, because I just wanted to move energy. I just wanted to hear music. I wanted to move my body. I wanted to respond to what I was hearing, feeling, knowing, and seeing through my body language. And then, you know, time went on. I had a near-death experience, sort of a spiritual wake-up. Then I went into, I was teaching, choreographing, and then studying teaching at a Montessori school. One of the doctors there, parent was a doctor, alternative doctor, said, you can see energy. And I went, okay, what's that? So I trained with a woman in California, his trainer, and Rosalind Breer. She was a medical intuitive. And I kind of woke up. I went, oh no, they found me.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, from there, it just started opening up. She was intuitive, psychic, and all that stuff. Then I did deep meditations for 15 years, learning all about the chakra system, how to clear it. And basically, what really cinched it was my father passed away from cancer. And I had three small children.
Oh, wow.
And a year after he died, I got cancer.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So, you know, the body doesn't lie. And of course, that's, it was in cervical cancer. And mm-hmm. it was, of course, that's the emotions, overwhelming emotions, the body will respond. And by then I was learning how to run energy and basically learn how to kill the cancer cells energetically. Wow. So, you know, I went to the doctors and they said, oh, you need to take everything out. And by the way, you need to get a tummy lift because you had twins. I said, what? Oh, no. So I went to a female doctor and said, no, I'm not taking this anything out. I believe that I can heal myself. She said, you don't have to take anything out. I said, great, let's go. So between her medical world and my positive thinking, meditating every night, running energy in that area, saying and no shame and guilt, we're going, I'm whole, I am alive, I am okay, and I'm going to shrink the cancer cells. And I, you know, went every, you know, for 3 years, I went every three times a year, four times a year, you know, every 3 months or something, and then 6 months, and then I'm clean. So basically after that, that's when the method really started. I said, I got to do something. I got to help. I got to teach people that, you know, you're still whole no matter what. You're still, anyway.
That's an astounding story. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Are there any, you said that's how the method came, and I was going to ask about that, but I didn't mean to stop you. Was there more?
No, I mean, from there, I just build. You know, I just had clients and students here and then developed the body work. And then the last thing that I pulled together was the body work, but also the Enneagram, which is the study of personalities. And a man mm-hmm. named Gurdjieff started that. And that sort of said, hello, that I'm human. Wow. I have personality issues. Okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Great.
So that's it. That's kind of like, oh, well, if it's not this, then it might be your personality, or it's not this, or, you know, that kind of full, you know, aspects of all of you.
So you used the word in our conversation right before we jumped on, you used the word Shiva. And when I sent you a panicked email telling you to jump back on after I disconnected you, I saw it was, you know, Dot Shiva. So tell me about that system and what you've created. And I understand from what you said before and just now, it's Enneagram, which is, I know about. I have a friend who's a fanatic in that and has analyzed me six ways to Sunday, but I haven't ever actually become a practitioner of any kind. So tell me about your whole system and what it is that you offer. And I understand that you've got a book that you've recently written. So tell me about the book, the system, like this is the real answer to what you're adding good to the world. So tell me all about it.
Okay. So in 2002, in my living room at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was meditating facing north, which is moving forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the word Shiva came and I went, Shiva, what the hell is Shiva? You know, they said, write it down. And it means, they told me, seeking harmony in energy, voice, and action. I went, okay. So that was the beginning of what that word means. And it's taken me this long to sort of finish the energy of what it is, the method. So it's body work. It's deep meditation, clearing through the chakra, always through the chakra systems. Acupressure points, releasing energy, teaching people where that goes, you know, here, all these. So we designed a body work, meditation, then the Enneagram kind of pulls it together when I see sort of hooks into personality, tightness around personality, whether it's the mind, the heart, or the body. Mind might be a big thinker. So energetically, I would look at that person. He's going to go through his head type, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that head type, I'm not going to ask him how he feels. I'm going to ask him how he thinks he feels. Because he's not going to go here. He's going to go here. So it's that kind of language. It's that kind of study of personalities that has really helped. So energetically, I can actually tell and see how that works with the personality, you know, the mind, the body, the heart, the soul, where the resistance is. So that's what I study, is I study where's the resistance to the purpose of your life, where you want to be, or, you know, where's the cancer and this is a blip, so let's get through it. Or, you know, you want to change a career. Okay, well, these are the options. So where's the resistance? You know, so I'm getting people to observe themselves, help themselves go get where they want to go.
So if I'm hearing this right, we're always somewhere. We're always where we are. And we're either completely satisfied with where we are or we're not. And we want to create some area or many areas of difference. But in that process of creation, there always seems to be some kind of gravity, resistance, you know, physical gravity, if there's a body issues or spiritual, mm-hmm. energetic gravity, mm-hmm. if mm-hmm. stories in our mind, and you're helping me with this combination of body work and energy release, acupressure, meditation, chakra clearing, a coordinated system, and then the personality elements of the Enneagram to help me identify the resistance, what it might be saying, and then how to get past that so that I'm able to move forward in creating whatever change or manifestation that I want to create.
Well said. Nice. Yes.
Okay.
And the key, the bottom line is also doing it with joy and love and humor. You know, there has to be that element. I mean, we do want to make changes and do these things, but, you know, it's a process. It's a process, and it's a trust.
Well, I love that. The process, trust, you know, trust in my mind equates with surrender. You know, people hear the word surrender and they think of abdication, and really it's trust, right? Trust that there is a path, there is design, there's something cohesive holding all this together. And, you know, we don't have, not only do we not have control, we don't need to have control of all this stuff. We have elements to touch and use. And so I love that you do that. How do people find you in terms of recognizing not only that they have these resistances or barriers, but that you, Fran, you're the person that they need to come see to address that? How does that happen?
Well, they can go on my website. I do one-on-one Zoom, FranBaileyHealer.com. I do, you know, free meditations 4 or 5 times a year. I just finished an online introduction to the Shiva Method course. Mm-hmm. It's online. My book, Emergence, is basically studying of you know, all the chakra systems, and it's all full of colors and every chakra. And
that's beautiful.
Quotes and that kind of thing. So, I mean, there are all kinds of tools. I just did a year and a half ago, I did a channeling mandalas for each center, and you can actually hold it. This is what one of them looks like. I'll do the 7th. Actually, I'll do this. Yeah. This is just the 7th chakra.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So it's very channeled energy. And then I'm not an artist, but I guess I'm doing this.
Right. So what does that do for someone? Like you have 7 of them that you referred with 7 chakras. So if I have that, do I sit on it? Do I put it on my head? Do I wear it? Like, what do I do?
You actually, if I'm giving a session, I will put this on the table. So I have the table. Uh-huh. Either I'm going to put you on the table and run energy on you, or I'm going to see what chakras you're attracted to.
Oh,
So this is the
okay.
seventh. So I go first to second. I said, stand back and tell me what you're feeling. What are you feeling? What are you pulling towards? Which one are you pulled towards? Which one are you pulling away from? Which is cold? Which is wet? Which is, you know, just observing what your energy is doing. And then that gives me a cue, gives them a cue. Oh, I need to say hello to that. Or so it's this other tactile kind of visual, an energetic wake up. So there's tools like that. There's free meditation at the bottom of the page you can download. Anyway.
So no, this is wonderful. I want to know where someone can, is all this on your website? Like you said, you did meditations here and there. So tell me the website again, slowly, so people can hear it and know it. Fran Bailey Healer, is that what you said?
Yeah, FranBaileyHealer.com.
Fran Bailey with an E. So FranBaileyHealer.com. healer.com. And there I can find these beautiful pieces of art. Is a link to your book on Amazon, I'm presuming. And
yeah,
to find these different tools that you've created. Is there anything else that people should know to go find you and follow the work that you're doing?
Well, I think there's something that, and I always work with the number three. So if someone really wants a change and they're ready to kind of take the jump and they know they're ready, but they just can't turn the switch. I usually do three sessions really, like, you know, like every 2 weeks. We just get the core of what you need done. And then you do tune-ups after that, which is like every couple months or 3 months, just to stay on track with your spiritual purpose or your purpose in life, that's the goal. So go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, do you find that, like, some people, and I call it woo-woo stuff, and I'm that, and you're that, and Kathy's that. Some people, you know, in the metaphysical things, and others are resistant. Do you find that you have to sort of educate or break through some level of doubt or resistance with people to act? I mean, we have this energy. People taking pictures of it and all that other stuff, auras and the whole thing. It's really there, but there's a lot of, with some, many, there's a lot of, yeah, whatever. Do you find you have to work with that a lot in order to get through to where people are opening their hearts to accept what you have to offer?
Well, I think I'm probably not going to attract that kind of person that has a lot of doubt. But then again, I have. And they usually come and they want to kind of test me.
Right.
You know, what I really know.
Right.
And then I'll tell them about a memory that I see when they had a bicycle accident at age 5. And they either stay with me or they leave.
Right.
So
right.
There is that. But most of the time, people are ready to make that shift and change. And they just need a simple, you know, I can't do it for you.
Right.
I just have created these tools for you to find that in yourself. I will always say that. I mean, I'm lucky enough to have the training that I've had for 20 years or more. And so now I pull it together. And this is like, you're lucky to kind of have all this to play with.
Right. Because you didn't. You had to build it.
Right. So I think the goal is really you is the client, it's the person. And if they are saying hello to themselves, and all I'm asking is just to say hello to who you are, just say hello. And let's get past that stuff so that we can unveil what's important to you.
I love that. And I'm certainly grateful, honored to have you on as guest, and grateful for the work that you're doing. Thank you. Is there any final thought you want to leave us with as we close up here?
I think, I'm just, thank you for having me. And it's interesting. And I'm just going to say before I usually read the energy before I even do anything, like today. And I went, oh, this is going to be great. So you're a joy and you are wonderful. And I love your energy. So I just wanted to tell you that.
Well, I thank you. And I'm honored to have you on the show. I want to encourage each of you to take time to listen to this and to visit her website and to take advantage of the 20 years of work that she has done and offers in this collection and this method for you to release the resistances, discover who you really are, and move forward as you create your ultimate life. Open your
heart and this time around. Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow, this is Your Ultimate Life with host Kellen Flukiger. Stand with your heart in the sky and your feet.